Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
conference. We're going to do a lot of worship the next few days. But the foundation of all worship is an understanding of the great love of the Father. And I like to sing that little children's song. No, Jesus said,
amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining us this morning in our Bible encounter. I mean, this is a beautiful day today, the day to recognize probably one of the greatest days. And I'm not putting anything above the mothers, but they as well. But the Father has been the apple of God's eye, the creator of the beginning, the Adam, before even making the Eve. God has put the men in position not to oversee the women and a woman not to oversee the men, but to be equal as one. It's like positive and negative. It's like when you enter a battery into a particular slot, it tells you the positive side and it tells you the negative side. But I thank God for just the opportunity to be able to live to see another day, which we call Father's Day. And it's a great pleasure for me to be able to just extend an invitation and a congratulations to all the fathers out there in the United States. And even though we look at the celebrations that take place on today, our most greatest significance is designed for us to have our relationship with the Father. So to know that we as fathers know how to guide our young men and women in the world, how to be better fathers toward the women. And without the leadership of men in the life of a son, it can be very dramatic. I know from a personal standpoint, there are some things that enter into that relationship and cause division to take place. But that should be any problem or any significance why that particular son shouldn't spend time with the original father in his life. And if that father has nothing to do with that particular son, then you got to understand and realize there's a greater father, and that's the father who's in the kingdom. And we got to realize on this day and time that Father Day is so much more than us just having a Father's Day. It's much more than us putting on our little suits and going to the house of God and receiving, which is a good word. You know, it's a prophetic word to help us to be able to walk right in the area where God has denied, engineered us as being men of God to be leaders in the world. But a leader with no direction can have no direction. In other words, if you don't have direction from somebody who's actually showing you how to get to where you need to go, you can never actually get to where you're going. You'll be lost. You'll be entangled in your walk. So on this Father's Day, I always challenge all fathers to be active in the children's life. And if there's something in the children's lives that denies them from actually being apart from the Father, then you pray and ask God that he would intervene and make that situation or that way smooth to the point that you may be active in the child's life or that son's life who so desperately need direction in this day, this time, in this season. But I am Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. You are listening to our Paul of the Harvest morning in Bible encounter. Every morning at 9:15 we have, not every morning at 9:15, but every Sunday morning at 9:15 you will hear the ringing of my voice dealing with something in the area of having you to just line up with the kingdom of God. So many times we find ourselves just lost, just wandering in the wilderness, not knowing which way to go. But today God has given us a word about the fathers. And then first of all, we got to recognize the Father before we can become a father. Because I said, with no GPS system from the originator, you cannot learn your way in the direction where God has for you to go. It does say it, and it does speak very candidly and very clear in the book of Matthew 6:33, but it's so much more than what he says. It talks about the seeking of him first, you know, and then everything will be added unto you. A man without the directions will constantly be lost in all his ways. You know, the word of God says in the book of James that he'll become double-minded, not knowing what to understand and which way to go. But today's message is not designed to criticize or come against anybody, because today is a great day for all fathers to be with their sons and be with their daughters as well. But in particular, for the father to be one-on-one with the son, to teach him the roles of being a man in his particular family or the future of the family to come. And I say this with no bones and nothing picked about it. There are situations that happen in certain people's lives and knowledge that doesn't give them an opportunity to be able to be with God or be with the Father. But we have to realize and understand that as we have that opportunity, whenever we have it, is impute sound information into the young man's life that give him direction in which he's going. And sometimes there are things that hinder that. But you got to be able to pray to God and make a way to have you into that particular young man or young woman's life, that you may show them the direction in which God has planned for them to go. We're not gonna delay the time here. We want to get into this Bible study. We want to take our time, and we want to hear what the Word of God is speaking concerning that was coming from the kingdom. We're going to be in the book of John, chapter 14. But I'm going to read from verse 14, verse 1 down to verse 7. And we're going to start putting our emphasis in the Word of God from chapter 7 to from chapter 14, excuse me, to verse 7 to verse 9. Let me make that very clear as I stumble through my notes and look at the information that God has given me to speak on today, and not denying what the Spirit has to say, but it will intervene as he gives proof of what I'm speaking on today. So we're going to be in chapter 14 of the book of John. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. We're going to place our emphasis on verse 7 and verse 9 as we go into the story and we hear what the Word of God has to say concerning that comes from the kingdom. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every father. We thank you for every man that rises up off his bed sword, that his feet touches the ground, that he'd give you thanks and honor that he had the opportunity to see another Father's Day, which he had never seen before. And Father God, with that being said, Father God, let him think first of his father and the ones he has to father, that he may give you strategic insights and direction to that young man in how he should portray him as being a part of you, and how he should raise him up in the way that you taught him to raise him up, that his way will be smooth, his ways will be right, and that your hands will lay upon him and teach him all the ways of the kingdom. Father God, I declare a father who's without a church home or don't know you, that they invited in today to hear this word, that they may come to the revelation, understand and know that you're still on the throne. And it's through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father God, touch him, that man, that son, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, let them line up with us what you have said coming from the kingdom of God, that they may know and understand that everything through you is possible and all things are possible. Father God, declare your word in their life in the name of Jesus. Decree your word in their life. Let them realize and understand that even on today, Father God, you have set aside this day to bring the 101 with you, not just speaking in terms of the prodigal son, which you probably hear a lot of messages about the prodigal son on today, but we're going to speak in reference to you loving the Father and the Father loving you, and how he's paralleling his information into you that you may guide others around you, other young men that's lost, you know, the young men who don't see much way to go, who baffled in their thinking, who don't know what it is to raise a family, to be hardworking, to be a loving husband to a wife, to know, understand, to handle situations in their household to the point that they may learn and understand and realize, Father God, it's through you that everything and all things are possible. Father God, touch them on this day. Lord, I shut out every negative activity in their life that will lead them behind the cell walls that their future may be taken from them. Father God, I launch a word of wisdom into their life in the name of Jesus, that they be compelled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they'll come to you, Father God, and say, what must I do to walk upright, that I will receive the inheritance you have for me that's coming from the kingdom. Lord, I declare the word according to the power and the purpose of the Spirit. I decree it and I set it in place and I call it to be done right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. We're going to be reading the book of John. For those of you who are going to be coming on the internet phase of the show, you can go to harvestnewlifechurch.com and you can go over schedules and services. As you go to schedules and services, you want to come midway through the page. It's going to bring to an icon that says Power of the Harvest Blog Talk Internet Radio. Click on that, and it'll bring you to the internet phase of the show that you don't even have to dial into the show. You can just go through your cell phone or wherever you are. It'll reach you. All you have to do is click it if you really want to hear what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God says in Revelation 2 and 7 that he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say concerning the church. Those of you who are coming into the actual studio itself, you can call in also to the call-in number, which is 347 637-1074. Whatever. Let's move forward here. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say concerning this coming from the kingdom. It says in verse 1, chapter 14 of the book of John, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if you go and prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, excuse me, I will come again and receive you into myself. That where I am, there ye may be also." For the taking of the information, we're going to read out of the King James Version. For those of you reading out of the New King James Version or any other type of version, we're reading from the King James Rule. So if your Bible reads a little different, we're all lining up. But we want to let you know the King James does rule when it comes down to speaking text and information about the concerning of the Word of God. And it goes in verse 14, in verse 4, and it says, "Whether I go, ye know, in the way ye know." It's a powerful word right there. If you know the Father, you know the way to go. And if you know the words that come from your Father, from the Father that he gets his word from, then your direction will be made clear. Jeremiah speaks a word and says, "I know the ways, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, the good and the evil, the good and not of evil, to give you expectant future." What the Father does, he gets his information from the Father above, and he prays that he give him wisdom and guidance how to guide his family. He doesn't lean according to opposite of what Proverbs 3 and 5 say. Proverbs 3 and 5 say, "Lean not to your own, but you got to acknowledge God in all your way." A man of direction acknowledges the Father. A man of direction acknowledges the information that comes from the heavenly realm, because there's a word of protection that keeps him moving in the direction that he be like the shepherd who flocks his sheep or flocks his family in the right direction with sound financial statements, sound financial judgment, with sound financial wisdom, with sound financial understanding, excuse me. Well, now, actually sound financial understanding as well. And that when he know to make a decision on particular things, he know once he hears from his Father, that his Father's heard from the Father. And this is what Jesus is speaking of, about in terms of those who want to know him, believe in him as being the Son. And if you believe in him as being the Son, you believe in the Father who sent him. Let's go on, and let's get some more interesting here. And it says in verse 5, Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether you goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said in the 6th verse, "Unto him I am the way." This is what he says. "Unto him I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, not one, cometh unto the Father, but by me." Verse 7 comes out, and which we're going to be expounded upon verse 7. It says, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then thou, show me the Father?" In other words, what he's simply saying to Philip in this particular verse, down to the 8th verse, and you look at the 7th verse, he said, "If you know me, you know I have known my Father. If you know me, you know my Father. Because I am the Father in the flesh." In other words, the Father sent me to portray, to do the things he wanted me to do, to show you the way that you need to go. And this is why God has created man in the image of man. God saw in the book of Genesis that men were lonely. He created them women. But before God even done anything with a woman, he created a man. And when a man came on the scene, he was given with all the wisdom and direction that he needed until the fall. And once after the fall, God said, "I'm going to send a new Adam, and that's going to be Jesus Christ. And he's going to be the one to show you the way. And if you believe on him, you'll believe in me. And if you believe on my Son, who I have sent, you'll also know who I am when you see him. If you acknowledge him as being the Son, a sent from the Father, you as being the Father will acknowledge the Son, but know that the words I sent through my Son is for the words that you have been the Father, that even in your life and in your walk with Christ, God has genetically engineered and designed you, the Father, the GPS system of the kingdom. And when you come into marriage, the holy matrimony has been a man who knows how to work and labor for his family, and y'all do so and so on as together. God has engineered it to the point to know that the man has not been given the superseding over the woman, but to walk with the woman, but he is the leader of the household. So he's not ahead of the household to the point that he feels that she's the woman who acts behind her. She walks with him because he's his helpmate. But God has given you instructions to understand that if you receive what from the Father who's above you, and then you would have no problem receiving the words, or your family would have no problem receiving the words that come from you. So if the Father seeks the Father above, and then the ones the Father is acknowledging the direct, then they wouldn't have a problem acknowledging with him. Does that make sense to you? Well, let me make it plain for you. The Bible says if you know me, then you know the direction in which you're going. If you know me, you know how to handle your household. If you know me, you will teach your children to pray. If you know me and you say you know me, your wife will be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And you will realize and understand that I didn't put her with you to be a punching bag. I didn't put her with you to be a voice box. I put her with you to help you in the way that you need to go. That even when you seem to fall short on the life that you're living, in the way that you're going, I have placed me as the father, my son in life, to show you has been the father here on earth to your family, the direction in which you ought to handle your family and the way you should go. He says, as I read it again in verse 14 and 7, if you have known me, you should know my father also. And from henceforth, you should know him. You have to know the father before you know the son. And you got to be led by the son which brought forth the Holy Spirit. He said it himself, I will leave you a comforter, and that comforter will lead you into all truth. But according to the book of Hebrews 12, he said, I am now the author and the finisher of your faith. That means the things I'm about to show you is what the Father has shown me. And now that the Father has shown me, I show unto you as being the Father over your family. If you're led by the Spirit, you will have the lust and desires of the flesh, according to Galatians 16. Because now you acknowledge the point where God is in your life. And everything that the Father has showed you through the Son, you ought to portray it as being the Father here on earth. Am I speaking this morning? Jesus said unto him in the 9th verse, and we've got to go back to the 5th to 8th verse, but I want to flip this back and forth. We came from the 7th, but we're 7 and 14, 14 and 7, but we want to go back to the 9th verse, and I'm going to go back to the 8th verse. For those of you who didn't catch that well, we're in John 14. I just read the 7th verse, but I'm going to go to the 9th verse. And from the 9th verse, I'm going to go back to the 8th verse because I want to get you to see something here. Jesus said in 14 and 9 of John, Jesus said unto him, have I been with you so long time, or long of a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, that's just parallel a little bit with the book of Hebrews. You know, I am the author and the finisher of faith. I've come to show you the way. Just the author writes the books. He shows you the very things in the beginning of the book, who actually is authoring this book, who he gives thanks to for writing the book. And then you got the ending of the chapter. But Jesus said, I give you something greater than what man gives you. I give you the Holy Spirit. But we go back to the 8th verse. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient to us. Well, Jesus explained to him, you've been with me so long, and yet you still ask the questions. I need to show you the Father. Have you seen the signs, wonders, the miracles I do? As a father in the household, your family will father you even more as being a father and being a dad. If your words are solid words of wisdom, solid words of direction, solid words of leading them in a path of righteousness, because it'd be of God's namesake. As a father, you got to realize and understand that now God has put the baton in your hand. Because as you saw your father rule, you have to rule. And even if you saw your father do something opposite of what you saw according to what the word of God is, you ought not to follow that area. That's not the will of God. If your father was a person who was a striker, a father was a person who had spicy language, or your father was a person who had problems with the cigarettes and problems with the beer, in which my father had some struggles with those things also. But that doesn't necessarily mean I had to deal with that. My father may not have followed all the instructions that Christ wanted him to follow as being the father of the household, but my mother was there keeping us lined up. But we had to do exactly what my father wanted us to do. So what are you saying, Pastor Ellis? I don't have to follow the role in which my father had, because he was a person who was outside the will of God. I don't have to be outside the will of God, because attaining to the word of God, he said, if you know the Father, then you know me. And if you know the ways of the Father, that what you portray in your family would teach your family to walk in all rightness, to walk in all areas of the kingdom, to walk in all attributes that God has restored in the inheritance he had for your life. You don't have to fall away from what God has in store for you. God has genetically planned and engineered you and made you to be a leader. A leader is what stems from the kingdom of God. So what God does, he imputes his word into you. He brings another man of God into your life to show you the word. And as he shows you the word, then you begin to read and you begin to understand. You don't be too inquisitive about the word. You begin to learn for yourself. There's a lot of slogans out here on the internet, a lot of things that say this and that about preachers, this and that said about men of God, this said that about even men, lay ministry. You have more things happening to laymen than happening to ministers of God in the church. Remember, we're in a war. But in a war, you got to be a man in your position, know how to draw your armor. And you can't live on the past tense of what other men say. You got to live on the tense of what God is telling you. This is where a great leader become a great leader. This is the way you become a father, a great father, is to heed the words that come from the kingdom, to love your family with all diligence, with all malice, not malice, but all love, with all tendencies, tenderness of the heart. The malice does play a role to the point that you gotta bring the belt. I don't like to whoop my child, but the Bible says, spare the rod, spare the child. If you don't whoop her, somebody else is going to whoop him or her. And you don't want the streets to whoop her, because if the government get a hold of him, you know you're in trouble. And all the devil is not just to fleece your pockets. So as a father in the ministry, as a father in the household, your household is your ministry. If you fail to receive the instructions from the kingdom, then that's going to be a problem in your household. Strife, all kinds of seduction, all kinds of lewdness, all kinds of misunderstanding, all kinds of arguments, and that stuff pans on to the children. But the word God goes on and says in John 14:10, believeth I not that I am in the Father, and in the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. In other words, God declares and decrees that greater than he that is in you, that he in the world. Everybody's got a spiritual GPS system in them. From the time you were born to the time you were just flush it up, when you just grass or just flush of the earth, you just made up from just the dirt of the earth. You never existed until God blew the spirit of life in you. And then you became a living soul. Read the word of God in Genesis. Man was just the dirt of the earth. When God created them, they were just a living soul. But when God blew breath into them, they became a living soul. And they was a dead soul, but they became a living soul. So when God imputed the breath into you, that was to the Holy Spirit, it designed you to have all your organs begin to function. And he gave you a system, which was the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is your life that's in you, that it beacons you in the right direction. That even when the flesh has to fall to the ground one day, your soul will go back to which it come. That makes a whole lot of sense. But why are you here? God has engineered you to be the Father, in which he blows the very spirit into you to use that beacon system to walk in the all truth, not to point your finger at anybody else to see what they're doing in their household, not to see if any other pastors out there have messed up their life, not to see if any other individual has messed up their life. Your job is to bring the word with truth. Bring the word to your family with truth. Bring the word to those around you with truth. To know that one day we all have to leave here. Nobody's going to live forever. But we thank God for the salvation he has given us now, through Christ. He goes on in the 11th verse, he says, believe in me, that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the work's sake. Let's look at that a little closer. Look at that a little closer to verse 11. And let me go my little telltale book over here and read some things. The Bible declares, it said, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Once again, placing faith as the vehicle, and Jesus as the objective. Am I speaking this afternoon or this morning? It says, or else believe it me for the very work's sake. presents a level in which we should obviously, all discern, including the instructions to salvation in God's will. In other words, he performs signs, wonders, and miracles. If you don't believe me on the physical end, believe me for the works that I do, because the works that I do come from somebody greater than me. He talks about the power process in the verse 12. He says in the verse 12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he should do. Believing on Christ gives once the access to the Father." If we believe on the one who sent us, we get access to the Father. What am I saying? A man of God who rules his own household with the kingdom principles will never have a problem in his life. Because when a problem does occur, God teaches you to use it in wisdom. It doesn't turn to a battling back and forth for the tongue who said what or who said that. You have a forgiveness heart, whether you're wrong or right. The Bible says we ought to strive peace with all men. So a father is really in the position of receiving instructions from the Father above. Well, first from the Son, and then if you believe in the Son, then you believe in the Father. And so goes in the household. You are the father, and if your son believes in what you're doing as raising a family, so goes on with him raising his sons and his daughters to be men and women of God, to walk according to the will and the purpose and the power of the Spirit. You know, we're not left outside the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. So verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me for the works that I do, the works that he do. Look what he said. Believe on me for the works that I do. Also, a greater work than these should he do because he goes to the Father. When you seem to be baffled in your way as being a man of God, situations begin to come in the household, job, employment, situation with married folk, whatever it may be. I just want to speak about married folk right now. When that thing seems to jump up in your house, you got to know how to put it out. You got to be the fireman in position. You got to know how to hold your house at bay to the point that can be no corruption or no division in your household. Because now you're listening to the word that comes from the Father which is above. And you're now guided by the Son who left you, the Holy Spirit. So he goes on in verse 13, he says, "And whosoever you should ask in my name, that I would do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So when we look at that whole understanding about that process, if you trust the Father, everything you do is glorified through the Son and through the Father. "Whoever should ask in my name, that I would do." The Christian is given power of authority to use the name of Christ. In other words, Romans 4:17 says, you got the ability to call things to be not to what they were. But if one is to notice all the usage of the name of the Father and confine and believe the power of the Holy Spirit in this world, that the believer has been given authority. He's been given authority over other believers. Because some people just use the word of God, but they have no power. But if you really have the power in believing the word of God, you have power over other believers. Because sometimes the word of God declares and it decrees and says that sometimes, you know, and most of the time, the men have what they call, how they would say it, and put it more, I'm just going to put it straight like this. Sometimes you have a form of godliness. You love the Lord, you speak the word, like you got a form, but you got no power. You quote scriptures, you go to church, but you ain't got no power. When you come out of church, you're in front of the TV drinking your beers and drinking, eating your popcorn. And God clearly states that, you know, Bible says that should not put anything foul in our mouth that harm the vessel that he carries the Holy Spirit. In other words, bitter and sweet can't come in the same fountain. In other words, bitter and sweet can't dwell in the same unit. But if you don't get sound doctrine and wisdom from the Lord and from the kingdom of God to lead your family in the direction they need to go, you have to understand that you got to stay purified before the kingdom of God. Some people say there ain't no problem with drinking beer. Well, drink beer, you know what beer does to you. You don't drink it for the taste. People say, "I drink beer for the taste." No, you don't. You drink it because it turns you to a drunken stupor. You drink it because you want to get the buzz off of it. You don't drink something for taste. Hennessy, whatever you drink it. A father has to be on alert over his fort. Just like if you just sat on the top of these forts in the old days, they had the forts built out in the middle of the desert, and they surrounded with these big old wooden barriers and these big old long doors, open doors to come into the fort. There are men who sit to the top of the tower with a bugle. You got to be the man on the top of the tower with your bugle. blowing to when the enemy comes. It's like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah is a father over the very people who God has given them the vision to go out and rebuild the wall. Nehemiah said none of them came off the wall except to wash their clothes. They were all manned with arms, with bows and swords. And whenever the enemy came, they sounded the trumpet because they were doing a great work. You also are doing a great work as a father. You're building other young men, showing them what a real, true man ought to be in the kingdom of God. It's not about all this playboy stuff. It's not about all this sucker roll stuff. It's not all about you going to cry, suck it up. No, you ain't got to be that way. But what you have to be is understand if God shed your tears, let him shed them. We've been taught too many times that it's sissified for a man to be able to shed tears. I cry more now than ever before, especially with my daughter and my wife, because I love them. And you got to understand that you got to grab your family and hug them and know that, look here, son, I believe that what I'm about to do for you and show you in life is going to be true and it's going to be sound because I hear from the Father upstairs. I will not lead you astray. Because the Father will not lead me astray. So a father's role is to keep a constant pipeline with the kingdom of God. And once he can keep that pipeline with the kingdom of God, he will by no means drill off his path. And if the enemy do happen to come in and try to waver in, God has already given him a strategic plan to shut that thing down. The Bible declares in the Creed, believe it in me. If you don't believe in me, in the verse 14-11, believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. He says in 12, but for verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. As we fathers are fathers in our household. My father's going to be with the Lord, but he taught me great things about how to be a man in my household. Wasn't the most pleasant man you want to be around because he ruled with an iron fist. But one thing I can tell you, he was a man of total authority, and he knew what he wanted his family to be, and he knew what he wanted his family to be in. And one thing he didn't tolerate was running astray and being all over the place and bringing bad karma back on the household. Because we knew as young men when we went out, we had a fear in our house about our father. The fear to know that, hey, look, if I do that, my father's not going to be appreciative of it. He's not going to love that, what I've done. So I can't go out and ruin my father's name. Unlike what the prodigal son did. You know, he wanted his inheritance. He wanted it now. And they say he went out and splurged it. And when he splurged it, the money he had no more, he went to a hog pen. And he was in a position about to eat the slop from the pigs. And then the word came to him, he said, how many hired servants is in my father's house? Did he not forgive me and hire me in? Remember, whatever negative you do in your life, whatever some of the things that seem to not go right in your life, remember the Father's always there to pick you up. Anger occurs, trust in the Father. Disagreements become in the family, trust in the Father. Disagreements come between you and your wife, learn how to pray. Learn to turn on the fire hose, whether you're right or wrong. Somebody's got to put the fire out. A father is a man who chose not cowardice, but true humbleness. In the midst of his family, not being argumentative, not being judgmental, but he's a man of authority to the point that he's going to do what's right for his family. And with saying that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, God has always got a word to help us. Now, my word may not seem like everybody else's word, but who wants to be like everybody else? I don't. I don't speak in terms of the way other people speak. I speak out of my heart. And I realize and understand when God gives me a word, it's going to be a word to help you walk according to his plan, his purpose, and his will. So I just thank each and every one of you. It's a short segment Bible study. I don't hold you really long. And I just want you to be encouraged in your time as you walk with Christ. Be encouraged in your time as being the men of the household. Don't wimp down, as they say. Don't feel bad. But understand and realize that God is on your side. I want to go through a few more verses before we leave the line on up, break some more of these things down here. In verse 14, it says, which is chapter 14, to 14, John 14, 14, it says, if you say, ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is how you come into the commandment of the Father. Things going bad in your household. You don't know which way to go. It seems like things are not working right. Trust in God. Trust in God. which is a harmony, which is character. And the character comes from the will of God. He becomes a helper to you in verse 15. For if you love me, you keep my commandments. Why you keep my, his commandments can be kept only in the ways that you've been a believer. You must never make Christ of the cross of a numb effect. Let me say that again. You must never make Christ of the cross of a numb effect in your life. He needs you to lean on him. He needs you to believe that where he's guiding you is going to be the right place. Don't lean to what you believe. Believe what he's going to believe you, even if it don't seem right in your own eyesight. Remember, the word of God said, I take the foolish thing and confound the wise. He leads us by the heart. He leads us by being believers. He does never forsake us. There's even the spirit of truth. The Greek says that the spirit of truth, which refers, the Greek word says the spirit of truth, which refers to the word of God. Actually, he does more more than we can imagine or even think of. In other words, he doesn't merely do more. He does more when we actually go after him and believe that when a situation in our life don't seem to be right, God is the attribute of our truth. You know, he holds us appointed to that supreme area, knowing that we follow him, he'll lead us into all truth. He'll lead us to all understanding. You know, you'll hear a lot of words this morning as you go into the house of God that the rhyming and the way it sounds good to you. But this is one of the ways you'll see me come most passionate as a father, you know, because I look at my daughters, I look at my sons, and I know things that I do opposite for them. It's got a potential of the enemy come in and snap them out of my life. But as a father, I protect them. I give them good sound wisdom, good sound guidance. I know my daughter, my little daughter, my son, oh my God. She gets at me sometimes. She gets under my skin. But I got to understand that I got to have patience with her because she's still growing. I got to have patience with all of my children because I know they're still growing. And I know if I continue to pray for them, my prayers are going to touch them, even when they're in a position of doing something wrong. God, the word of God will touch them in their hearts and show them in what he has prepared for them to be and to prepare for them to go. I thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in with me this morning to be a part of this Heart Touch Bible study. It's not like an ordinary Bible study. You know, I just more of a, I want to talk to you about the role as a father. In other words, as the father has the heart of the father, to be a father, you got to have a heart of the father. And when you got the heart of the father, it do just like the word of God says in verse 11. Believe it that I am in the father and the father in me. You got to believe that the moves you make are calculated moves to the kingdom. That in your life is not a weapon that can be formed against you. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in this morning for this short Bible study. It's truly been a good Bible study to me, whether you believe it or not. But it's not the rhyming things you may hear. It's not all the good significant saying dictionary forms you may hear. It's just speaking truth from the heart as a father, unto a father. Sometimes things get rough on us. Sometimes our employment, sometimes our job, sometimes things get rough. But understand, if we rule our castle the way we need to rule it, we're going to always have peace in our household. Regardless of what happens in the world, we can come into a household that's safe, a gospel that's sound, a household that's full of grace. So my blessings to each and every one of this Father today. I pray that everything is well. I pray that we'll be well throughout the course of the day, and you have one of the most beautiful times you ever had in your life. I am Pastor Charles Elder here at Harvest New Life Church, signing off. Telling you thank you, and God bless each and every one of you, and I hope to see you with us on this coming Tuesday night for our new Spreaker Show. Amen. God bless you and God keep you.